So we'll begin with a prayer. We'll begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints,
pray for us. In
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for being here. This is the part 7 of the Kingdom of God. And you're here for the best, because Jesus, when he talks to Louisa from volume 1, we're now into volume 30, and it just gets, by the end of the week, you're going to be floating because of what Jesus tells us. What he told Louisa is ours. And so what I'd like to you to know that it's good if we're silent. I know it's going to be fun to talk to everybody. But Jesus wants to talk to us. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. Our Lady wants to talk to us. Louisa wants to talk to us. And this is something that is, when I used to give retreats for the teenagers, that the thing I would say to them is, I'm going to give you a gift that nobody's ever given you. And they're going, whoa. I said, silence. And it's really tough at first. But once you get into silence, and especially in front of the Blessed Sacrament, our job in looking at Jesus is falling in love with him. Our job is to enter heaven while on earth. And our job is to look at Jesus, and if all he could say is, I love you, Jesus says, that's the best. So what God is looking for, he's looking for us to hear him, the word of God. He speaks to us constantly. He's always joking with us constantly. How do I know this? Just look in the mirror. It's God joking with us every single day. And all he wants us to do is to be little ones, be children. And again, children laugh 90% of the time. Adults, grown-ups, grumps, they laugh 10% of the time. See, it's you know, everybody's panicking, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Everybody's doom and gloom. Jesus says to Louisa, he says, when you're not happy, I'm not happy. If you're not joy-filled, he says, you're not near me, Jesus says. If you're not peaceful, he says, I'm not near you. So Jesus says you can be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. That means you can be miserable. Or you could be peaceful, joyful, and happy and have heaven. So this is what we're going to do. Jesus is going to show us clearly. I mean, there's going to be no question by the end of this weekend how much our God loves us, and we are perfectly safe with him. There's no fear. There's no fear. So in volume 30, 4-2, 1932, Louisa was thinking to myself, thinking to herself, how can the creature ever return to be beautiful and holy as he came out of the creative hands of God, so as to realize the kingdom of his fiat in the midst of the human family? And my beloved Jesus surprisingly told me, Louisa, my daughter, all the works of our supreme being are perfect and complete. This is part of your perfection, being here. God is going to, he says, all my children, I'm going to make them my divine masterpiece. So none of our works are by half, Jesus says. The creation is all complete and perfect. Even more, there are many things that are not of absolute necessity, but the like luxury and pomp of our power, of our love, of our magnificence. Even a mosquito. It's not necessary, but it's a beauty of God. It's the power of God. Louisa said that once to Jesus. Why is there so many bugs? And Jesus said, because I couldn't stop telling you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Everything's an I love you from God. And that's why when we do our round of creation, we get to fall in love with God more. When we do our round of redemption, we're falling in love with Jesus and Mary more than ever. So he says, should man alone, for whom all things were created, the universe, he said, I created for man. The human will, he said, I created for God. And in volume 36, he tells us that he wants to He gave our senses to us for God. So our eyes are for God. Our ears are for God. Our mouth is for God. So he says, I want to be alive on earth in your body. I want to gaze in your gazing, listen in your listening, speak in your speaking, beat in your heart beating. But when you're there, it's misery. But when I'm there, it's joy, it's happiness. So he's teaching us that what Adam threw out was God. And what God wants now for us is to accept him as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. To live with him in his will. Not just to do his will like the saints have done, but to live in God's holy divine will. And Jesus says the difference between doing the will of God and living in the will of God is as different from heaven and earth. And he says, what I've got planned, he says, I've saved for now, Jesus says. I've saved the best for last. It's not the end of the world. We pray world without end. Amen. We pray that every day. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the evil one. When Adam listened to Eve speaking the words of the devil, he accepted, I will not serve, I will not believe. And that's where we've been ever since. So he had to leave paradise. He said, God basically said, you didn't listen to what I said. You listened to the devil. You have to go where he is. You've chosen this. So for 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the devil. The last 2,000 years, Jesus and Mary came to earth. And what did they do? They gave us the Catholic life that Adam lost. The universal life that Adam lost. And now he's saying, now after 2,000 years, now that you've learned about the church, you've studied the dogma and doctrine, you're into this fullness of faith, he says, now I'm going to sanctify my people. We have been chosen to be alive at this time because God has saved the best for last. The saints did not have this. Why? They didn't have Louisa. We have Louisa. Father Bucci would say, St. Francis is for his time. St. Thomas was for his time. He says, Louisa is for our time. When we get to know Louisa, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, and what's happening right now with all these questions, it's good. We've gone through this at least 5 times that I've known of. You know, they, Louisa, 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 that's what I don't like Louisa. Okay, Louisa, Louisa, Louisa. we gotta read this again. And they read it again, and more people are going, Louisa, Louisa, Louisa. And they go, oi, Louisa. And it's Louisa, Louisa. Nobody can believe this. Nobody can believe this. What did St. Thomas Aquinas say about it? He didn't say anything. Why? He didn't have Louisa. If he had Louisa, he did. Because he didn't finish the Summa. He got done with the Summa. And he didn't get done with the Summa. He said, what I've written is mere straw. Seminaries are filled with Thomas Aquinas. What I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. I think God gave him a glimpse of the Book of Heaven. And he just said, I can't do this anymore. Because he got a glimpse. We don't get glimpses. We're reading. We're listening to Jesus. When I read the Book of Heaven, I feel, I hear, God breathing. He says, this is what he says. Listen, this is what we just did. He says, my beloved Jesus told me, my daughter, all the works of a supreme being are perfect and complete. And then he breathes. Then he breathes us. But none of our works is by half. The creation is completely imperfect. Even more, there are many things. He's breathing. And as you read this, you're in that rhythm, that motion of God. So listen to what he says. Should man alone, for whom all creation was created, remain an incomplete and imperfect work of ours, our own, Jesus says, the triune God, without the purpose for which he was created, that is for our fiat, to have its kingdom in humanity. He wants to breathe the image and likeness of God in us. This because Adam sinned and remained stained and degraded, that rendered him like a collapsing house exposed to the thieves of the enemies. That's the evil one. And if our power were limited and did not have all the power to do what God wants, what it wants, the way God wants it, the way it wants it, and when God wants it, Who would ever think that the kingdom of our divine will would come and put our very supreme power in doubt? So then he says this, you must know this. If you haven't read the You Must Know book, it's everything in the 36 volumes that Jesus said. You must know this. You have to understand what God is going to do. It's not doom and gloom out there. The evil one is packing his bags and ready to leave. That's what's coming. And it's a cornered rat, a cornered wild animal. He's going to destroy as much as he can, but God's going to win. See, what's coming, Our Lady said this, what's coming is going to be good for some, but bad for most. How can it be something be good and bad at the same time? It depends on your disposition. If you love Jesus and Mary, it's going to be ecstasy. If you don't love Jesus and Mary, you want the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. So what is God promising us? Come to me and I'll take care of everything, Jesus says. So he says this, you must know that when I, Jesus, came upon earth, while I did the office of Redeemer, at the same time, everything that my holy humanity did enclosed as many acts of my divine will as a deposit to be given back to humanity. God has done everything. He shed every drop of his blood. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. And all that he asks is that we come to him. See, St. Teresa said that the only time you can fall in love with God is now, freely. Because when we see him, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect he is, we're going to fall on our faces, adoring him and loving him and praising him. We will have to do that because how beautiful, how holy, how perfect he is. Our God has great plans for us. So he says, I had no need of this deposit because I am the divine will itself. So when you hear about the divine will, it's God revealing himself to us, asking us to participate in this life that he breathed into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And now 2,000 years later, after we have been redeemed, Jesus is saying, and now is the time for sanctification. This is the most glorious time to be alive. This is the greatest time to be alive. Because why? We're going to witness what God has planned for humanity and has planned for the evil one. God's going to win. So what's the 3 days of darkness? The 3 days of darkness is God saying to death, 3 days of darkness, take what's yours and get out of here. My kingdom's coming. That's what's coming. Who's afraid of that? The devil himself, one person, the devil himself and his fallen angels. We're not afraid of that. We're saying, get this thing done quickly. Let's get the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. God goes, good. See, what God is waiting for, he says this to Louisa. You remember the Essenes during Jesus' time? Who were the Essenes? It was the Blessed Mother. It was St. Joseph. It was St. Elizabeth. It was St. Anne, Joachim, and John the Baptist. It was Andrew and Peter. Andrew ran to Peter. We found the Messiah. See, the Essenes were the first Christians. The Essenes were longing for the Messiah. I mean, even John the Baptist, he was a high priest. And he said, what I have to do is prepare the world for Jesus, for God, for the Messiah. So it's the same thing that's happening today. God is getting us ready for this new and divine way of holiness. And he's looking for those, like he said, if when I find the people, the souls who want the divine will more than anything, this is the Essenes, this is the zeal that they had, the fervor that they had. They wanted the Messiah. They were searching for the Messiah. We are searching for the kingdom. We're wanting the kingdom more than anything else. Yes, there's a lot of trash going on, but we want God. We want the kingdom. We want to really go back to where we were before the fall. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. So he says, I had no need of it because I was the divine will itself. So my holy humanity acted like the most tender mother. It enclosed within itself as within many births from my divine will for as many acts that I, Jesus, did in order to give birth to them and deliver them onto the laps of the acts of humanity. Everything that, everyone that thought, said, and did anything, Jesus repaired everything. He redeemed us. Why? Because redemption is going to bring sanctification. So as to form in the human acts, the kingdom of the acts of my divine fiat. So there is like a mother with a love that makes her agonize, waiting to give birth to these divine offsprings of hers. Mary, Theotokos, the one who births God. Jesus says he wants us to give birth to God, not the way that Mary did, but giving birth. He gazes in our gazing. He listens in our listening. He speaks in our speaking. We want God to be of the Lord of our life. Not just a personal relationship with Jesus, but we want God to be the Lord of everything that we think, say, and do. This is the fruit when he said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply with every thought, every word, every deed, because it's going to be one conceived with God, giving birth to the acts of God. This is when we do an act of the divine will, we're saying, Jesus, you have to do this. I can't do this. Mary, you have to do this. I can't do this. But I want Jesus be in my heart beating, breathe in my breathing, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. And God goes, good, I'll take you at your word. This is, it's so amazing. So Jesus says, the other fact that I myself taught the Our Father so that all humanity would pray for my kingdom to come, so that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it were not to come, the teachings of such a prayer would have been useless, and useless things I, God, know not how to do. And then there are many truths manifested about my divine will. Do they say, they do not say in clear notes that the kingdom is coming upon earth, not by human work, but by a work of our omnipotence. Who's going to do this? Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God. Who's going to do this? Who's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? So what is our job? To pray for it. May your kingdom come. So he's teaching us when you do your rounds, when you do your acts of the divine will, it's constant. Lord, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, pray in my praying. I don't want you to have human works. I want you to have what you deserve, divine works. So Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Mary, be the queen of my life. To why? To give to the Father what the Father rightly deserves. And this is what's happening with us. Our prayer life is changing. So he says very, very clearly, he says, everything is possible when we, triune God, want it. When we, triune God, place as much ease in doing small things as we do in the great ones, because all the virtue and power is in our act, in us. God's act in us, not in the good of the act of the power that receives. In fact, when I was on earth, since all my acts ran with my divine power, the touch of my hands, the empire of my voice, and so forth, all were made powerful. And with the same ease with which I called to life that little girl who had died a few hours before, with the same ease I called to life Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, who was already corrupted and gave off an unbearable stench. I commanded, and the bandages were removed from him, and then I, Jesus, called him with the empire of my voice, Lazarus, come out. At my celestial supreme voice, Lazarus was resurrected. The corruption disappeared, the stench ceased, and he came back healthy and hearty as if he had not died. This is the true example of my divine power, Jesus says, that can make the kingdom of my fiat rise again in the midst of humanity. He's going to do this. He says it's a divine decree. Like creation was a divine decree, like redemption was a divine decree, sanctification is a divine decree that God is going to breathe into us as much as we want or as little as we want. He says, Volume 30, 626, 1932. Oh, after the most extensive length of time, He says, wanting to give the kingdom of our divine will, we wanted the sacrifice, listen to this, on which to set this kingdom, while the earth is flooded by sins and deserves to be destroyed, the sacrifice of Luisa. He crucified her every day. We don't understand how much she suffered. But he says, because of her sacrifice, it buys this life of the soul back for us, triune God. With Luisa's sacrifice and her sacrifice, she calls back the divine will to reign and makes the new life of my divine will be reborn in the world in the midst of humanity. This is why we always have Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. Jesus said to Luisa, my mother sits at my right, and I lean on her when I was on the cross. And he says, you, Luisa, sat on my left, and I lean on you, Luisa. As for my dying humanity leaned on you. So here's the three that suffered the most. As we get to understand their sufferings, we begin to understand our sufferings. All of us are suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are in pain in one way or another. Why? Because it's not heaven, number one. But number two, it's to get to know Jesus. And why are we suffering? Jesus, this is what Luisa says. Jesus, come down from the cross. Let me take your place for a minute and the little suffering that I'm doing. It's because we love Jesus. We don't love pain, but any person who is in love will suffer for the other person. And that's, Jesus loves us totally and completely. Mary loves us. She sacrificed her son. She knew on that day of Calvary, either we all died forever or her son had to die. He took our place. And she sacrificed her son. This is the three that suffered the most, the three that sacrificed the most. Jesus wants us to know this. So this is what he says. He says, in Luisa's sacrifice, it calls back the divine will to reign and make the new life of my divine will be reborn in the world in the midst of humanity. Here then, I ask for the long, drawn-out, continuous sacrifice of your life, Luisa, sacrificed in bed. Then he said to her, stop eating. Then he said to her, stop drinking. Then he said to her, stop sleeping. He only asked Adam not to eat the fruit of the center of the tree in the garden. Don't eat of that fruit tree or you'll die that day. He ate of it. Luisa, somebody said, well, she had the grace not to be hungry. She was starving. She was thirsty. She was tired. She wanted to sleep, but she sacrificed. You know, she never leaned against the pillows on her bed. Why? For another sacrifice to give to Jesus. So, God is good. So this was nothing because other souls have remained in bed of pain, but it was this new cross that I, God, have not asked of and given to anyone that was to form your daily martyrdom. And you know what it is, since many times you have lamented to me about it. Luisa, my daughter, when I want to give a great good, a new good to humanity, I give new crosses and a new and unique sacrifice, a cross which the human can give itself of no reason, and this is my divine reason, that a man obliged not to investigate. So Luisa didn't investigate why. She says, but to lower their forehead and to adore it. This is what God is asking. Now, what is God asking of us? We lower our forehead and adore it. He's asking us to live in the divine will. What does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, to the point of one day, no more sin. We adore what God is asking. Entering into this great gift, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which Luisa possessed. And besides, this was about a kingdom of my divine will, and my love had to invest and want new crosses and new sacrifices never before received, to be able to find a pretexts and props and strength of sufficient coins, sufficient amount of money, extremely long chains to let itself be bound by the creature to pay for this. This is what Jesus did. He bought our sin. He took upon himself our sin. He is crucified with all our worry, all our fear, all our anxiety, all our complaints, all our negativity, and all our sins. It doesn't belong to us anymore. And he says, I want you to be sanctified. I want you to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. That's what the Lord is asking. He says very, very clearly. He says this. He says, and a sure sign that we want to give a great and universal good in the world is to ask of a soul, a creature, a great sacrifice and a long, drawn out, continuous sacrifice in it. And these are the assurances and certainties that the good that we, triune God, want to give is going to be given to humanity because of what basically Louisa has done. I mean, we get a sliver and we complain about it. Louisa did not eat, drink, or sleep. Louisa stayed in bed. She could walk. She stayed in bed for the rest of her life. Louisa was crucified many times. She said to Jesus, she said, I'll accept crucifixion if you don't let anybody know. And Jesus just looked at her, you know. And every now and then when Aunt Rosaria would run into the room of Louisa, her bed would be covered with blood. The floor would be covered with blood. And Aunt Rosaria, this is Father Bucci's aunt, would run out, get all these towels, bring them into the bedroom, and there was no blood. God wanted us to know that she went through this every day. You know, who is this Louisa Picaretta? Now that, if you're listening to the titles, you're going to get a glimpse of it, where the titles are being read up to March 4th. 200 titles a day. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Why would Jesus say this about her? He's never said anything like this. This is another reason why people get upset with a Louisa. I never heard of Louisa. Remember the nun in the Song of Bernadette saying to Bernadette, if Our Lady was going to appear to anyone, she'd come to me because my eyes are looking at you in the Eucharist and my voice is raw from praying to you. Our Lady would appear to me. It's crazy. I mean, what God is looking for us, he's saying, who wants what I want? Remember when Jesus said to Louisa, Louisa, what do you want? He said, I only want what you want. He goes, I know that. But what do you want? I only want what you want. She goes, I know that, Jesus says. But what do you want? She says, I only want what you want. And what's Jesus' response? Finally, 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 someone wants what I want. See, it's always docility, surrender, submission to what the Lord wants. And this is Louisa. So anyways, we go back to this. He says, when we find one who accepts what we make him a portent of grace, this is Louisa, in his sacrifice, we form the life of a good that we want to give. So my divine will wants to form its kingdom in the sacrifice of the creatures, surrounding itself with it in order to be secure and by her, this is Louisa's sacrifices, to undo the human will and to erect its own. With this, Louisa comes to form many coins to buy this divine light before our divinity, to buy back the kingdom of our divine will, and to give it back to the human generations. And then he says, so therefore, do not be surprised at your long sacrifices or by that which we, Jesus, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have disposed and do in you, Louisa. It was necessary for our holy divine will. Nor should you be concerned because you do not see and hear in other effects of your sacrifice. She was isolated in her pain. But she said, this is what God wants. It is necessary that with your sacrifices, Louisa, you make the deed of purchase with our divinity. Once you have settled with God, the purchase is assured. And in due time, with certainty, this is our hope, the kingdom of the divine will shall have life Because the purchase of the kingdom was made by the sacrifice of the one who belongs to the human family. That's Louisa. Father Bucci said this. Okay, here's something that would be help. He says, get a picture of Louisa or a statue of Louisa and put it outside your door. He says, well, he said this a while back. He says, when all the demons are released and they're searching to destroy everyone, when they see Louisa, they're going to take off. Why? Because Louisa has the true life of Jesus and Mary. It's not a virtue or two like the saints who did the will of God, but Louisa lived in the will of God. See, this leap that we have to make in understanding Louisa is very important. As the Jews made the leap from the Torah to the Gospels, to the what Jesus taught, they became Christians. And who were the first Christians? The Essenes. Why? They were longing for the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. Now, we're making a leap of good and holy and saintly. That's what we've learned so far with the saints, to sharing in divinity. The priest, every day at Holy Mass, puts the drop of water in the chalice, and the words he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Saint Peter says that in his epistle. We have been called by God to share in the divine nature. We're talking about leaving the fallen human nature and embracing the divine. And that's what's happened with Louisa. You know, everybody says, well, I'm living in the divine will. I'm living in the divine will. This body is food for worms. Jesus had to ascend to heaven in the glorified state. Mary had to assume into heaven for the glorified state. They're the only two in heaven with bodies. Louisa doesn't even have a body in heaven. But Jesus says, everything that I and my mother possess, I give to you, Louisa. She's going to have a glorified body. This is the fullness of this gift that God wants to give us. And as we enter into this gift, as we read and study, as we put this into practice, there is nothing as beautiful as this. You look at the lives of the saints, they're great, they're holy, they're saintly, they're wonderful, but done on a human level. What Jesus gave to Louisa, and this is why everybody's hitting the brakes every now and then, we go, wait a minute, you're saying what? Wait a minute, who is this Louisa Picaretta? And then what does Jesus say? I am the one that's going to show Louisa to the world. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. What God is going to do, he's called us to witness what he is going to show the humanity, all of humanity, how much he loves us. And then he says, all will become Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Jesus says, there wasn't many religions that God gave. He gave the universal life to Adam. He breathed the universal life into Adam. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God with this universal life. Being Catholic is the greatest thing in the world. It's heaven. We have the sacraments and sacramentals. We have the saints. We have our dogma and doctrine. We have the sacred scriptures. We have everything. And Jesus says, I want you to have a little more. I want to give you Louisa. Wait till you dive into Louisa. This is amazing. Listen to what he says. Because of the purchase of the divine will was made by the sacrifice of a human belonging to the human family. What she went through, as you begin to read, as you begin to study, people would say to me, oh, she's always complaining. She's always complaining. She is so in love with Jesus that it wasn't a vision, it wasn't an apparition, it wasn't a locution. She was basically, God was her life. Jesus was her life. She couldn't breathe without Jesus. Her heart didn't beat without Jesus. She was not human without Jesus. And this is the thing that's so amazing about Louisa. All the negativity that's in her writings is because of us. At the end of her life, she said to Jesus, I'm really sorry for all the questions and doubts and fears and anxiety. He said, Louisa, you never doubted. You were never fearful. You never complained. She goes, That's not what I remember. And he says, it was all those that would be reading the writings. I gave them your misery, their misery to you so that you could ask me and I could answer you, so the answer of them as they read it. See, all your questions are answered in the book of heaven. Every one of your doubts is answered in the book of heaven. And what has happened is we tortured Louisa. Speak about other sufferings. We tortured Louisa with our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our complaints about the divine will. And God used that to answer us. How many times have you been reading, you put down the book and you go, I have no idea what's being said. And then you pick it up the next, and you read it, and there's the answer right there. It's Jesus knows you're going to read these words. Jesus knows you're going to hear him, and he knows you're going to understand it. But he wants to see you continue. It's the people that are sticks in the mud, that stick the stick in the mud and say, I'm not going any farther until I understand what Jesus is saying right here, because I don't understand. What are you? Miserable? And you just say, I always say to the Lord, I have no idea what you're saying. Tell me. And 3 pages later, there it is. And you go, wow, you are amazing. You are amazing. He knows we're reading. He knows how much we read. He knows how little we read. He knows what he wants to fill us with, and he knows how docile we are with that. He's going to do this. So volume 30, 7:14, 1932. Now you must know that the sacrifice with powerful voice calls God. Sacrifice is the powerful voice that calls God. And doing our will makes God descend into the soul to let him operate as the God he is. So see, we are very stubborn, very self-centered, very selfish. And like wild horses, God has to break us. Sometimes he breaks bones. Sometimes he breaks spirits. But he doesn't want to lose us. He doesn't want us to go to hell. And everybody complains, why did I have to go through this? What did I do? Well, you're on your way to hell, basically, and God's saving you. You know? So you have to understand. Listen to what he says. You must know that sacrifice, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sacrifices you're going through, is a powerful voice that calls God, and doing our divine will, Jesus says, makes God descend into the soul to let God operate in us as the God he is. He's doing miracles in our lives constantly. How many times has your angel saved you from death? I mean, each one of us shouldn't be here because we're kind of stupid. But the angels, because of God's love for us, the angels have helped us. And we're going to get into that tomorrow, a little bit about the angels. You've got to get to know your angel. And we're going to, through the consecration of the angels, for anyone who wants that, you've got to understand this is not a human battle that we're entering into. It's between heaven and hell. It's between Lucifer and Jesus. And the angels are going to protect us. Guarantee you. So anyways, we'll do that tomorrow. But he says, and I, my love, even though I try to operate always in your will, this is Louisa, and I, my love, Jesus, even though I try to operate always in your will, and I pray that his kingdom come upon earth, nothing is seen yet. This is our complaint. And Jesus, good daughter, this says nothing. In fact, you must know that the prayers and the acts done under our divine will, because they enter into our divine act, have such power that they must bring to humanity the good that they contain. Like I said, we haven't seen anything yet. See, the angels, some of the angels are sealed. Okay, this is like a metal band around them. When God says be released, when the angels are released, these end times angels that are coming, that's why there's nothing to be afraid of. Each angel is more powerful than all the nuclear weapons going off together. They are so powerful that one angel is greater than all the demons combined. See, God is protecting us. And again, being Catholic, we have everything. And don't waste, like we're going to do, what is it? I think Sunday, I mean Sunday or Saturday, I forgot which, but we're going to do the blessing of the water, blessing of the salt, blessing of the oil, blessing of the bells. Now the bells, just so that you know, like at the mass, the bells ring before the priest comes out. The sanctus, the bells ring. The consecration, the bells ring, 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 ring. And then the consecrations ring, 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 ring. Why? It's driving the demons away. The bells, when the church bells ring, in your town, it's driving the demons away. See, the bells are powerful. And guess who Jesus said is a bell? Louisa. He says, you are the bell that I will ring continuously until all of humanity enters the kingdom. That's Louisa. So tomorrow we'll be doing the exorcisms of the bells, the oil, the salt, the water, and use it. See, the great thing about exercise holy water, if you go down to 49%, you still have 51%, you can add the water to that container, and the blessing is always there. So you don't have to empty the whole thing and search for a priest that will do it. Is once you get it, if you get a, like a half gallon of water, just put a line there and make sure if you get close to that line, fill it up again and you'll never lose the blessing. See the wisdom of the church there? God is so good. Okay, so, all right. Okay, so he says, and Jesus, good daughter, this says nothing. In fact, you must know that the prayers and the acts done in our most holy divine will, because they enter our divine act, it's Jesus that's doing it, have such power, it must bring those humans, the humanity, the good that they are praying for. These acts are the possessors of my divine will. He says, in an absolute way, they want to give it back to humanity. What's that? Paradise. We're going, honest to goodness. Heaven, see, this is a bus stop. This is a train station. This is an airport. The food is too expensive. The waiting is too long. No, what's coming is we're getting it on that plane. Jesus tells us how to get the ticket to get to heaven. And the ticket is giving our human will to God. And he's teaching us how to do this, because as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, when Our Lady of Revelation, what did she say? She says, my children are going to enter eternity where they belong and enjoy the beatific vision, where the children of the Lucifer will always be trapped in time and space, never enter eternity, and never enjoy the beatific vision. Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And Bruno goes, the end of the world? She goes, no, the end of this era. What does that mean? The era of Lucifer is ending. The kingdom is coming. This, yes, and he's depending on us to hurry up. We have to want this so much that it's always in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Come, divine will, come, divine will. And that's what he's waiting for. This is what he says. He says, the acts of the possessors of my divine will, then absolutely they want to give it back to humanity. And if one escapes them and takes aim at another, if one century does not receive them, they do not stop this whole act, nor do they depart, because we have given them the centuries in their power, and they have formed and shall form our divine army. We are in the army of God. We are. And what's the weapons? He says the weapons of love, the rosary, the cross, adoration, communion, confession. There should be confession and communion. The sacraments and sacramentals. He says we form our divine army in the midst of the human generations to form the kingdom of our divine will. In these acts there is human, crowned with the divine power, and they give back to humanity the right to possess such a kingdom. There is our divine will operating in these acts, and it gives God the right to reign and dominate humanity with our divine omnipotent fiat. They are like the down payment and the capital that pay God on behalf of all humanity and have the right to give what they have paid for to the human generations. Your children are going to receive this. Your grandchildren are going to receive this. And like the sun that does not withdraw or ever tire, beating on the earth with its light to give the goods it possesses So do they. The more than sons that go around through each and every heart to go around to the centuries and are always in motion, nor do they ever give up until they have given my operating divine will that they possess. See, this is coming. So more so, since they know with certainty that they shall obtain their intent and victory. Therefore, Luisa and us, if you see nothing, do not be concerned. You continue your life, you and your acts in my divine will. This is more necessary than anything to form the currency in order to pay for a kingdom so holy on behalf of all your brothers and sisters. Find 32, 9, 10, 1933. I was following the divine will and its acts both in creation and redemption, and how all of them had connection with the human will so that the divine might have its place. And since many human acts escaped from receiving the divine sanctity of the divine acts, not giving it the first place. Luisa said, I thought to myself, how difficult it is for the Supreme Fiat to extend its kingdom in the human acts of humanity. It seems, indeed, that they don't even recognize the divine act that follows in them, that flows in them. So therefore, they do not appreciate it, nor do they give it the supremacy due to it. So Jesus is showing us what he's given to us now, doing the divine will, living in the divine will, is a supreme act that a human can do. See, on the contrary, it seems that the human acts are like people without a king, without order, and many of the enemies of the divine acts that want to give them life, that while it flows within them, they do not recognize. They do not recognize that it's God. My God, I was saying to myself, how can it be that your will may form its kingdom? And my always love of Jesus, surprisingly and all tenderness, drowned with love, as though it need to give vent to it, told me, blessed daughter Luisa, Luisa of my divine will, it should not be doubted. It is more than certain that my divine will shall have its kingdom in the midst of humanity, just as certain as my descent from heaven to earth. I, acting as a king, was to constitute the kingdom of my divine fiat that Adam had rejected. Therefore, my divinity, united to my holy humanity, descended from heaven in order to purchase my divine will for all of humanity. Each act I did was a disbursement of the price that was needed. And I, Jesus, gave to the divine majesty in order to buy back what Adam had rejected and lost. So each pain, each act, each tear of mine, and my very death on the cross were nothing other than the dispersing of the price sufficient to purchase my divine will and to give it back to humanity. So if the purchase was made, the price was dispersed, the divinity accepted, the payment was closed, and with it the sacrifice of the price of my life, how can his kingdom not come? Even more, you must know that my holy humanity operated, suffered, and prayed, so my divine fiat descended down into my human acts, and it formed its kingdom. And since I, Jesus, was the head, the elder brother of all the human generations, the kingdom passed on to my members and to my younger brothers. However, redemption was necessary first. It was to serve to till the ground of the human will, to purify humanity, to prepare humanity, to embellish humanity, to let them know how much did the purchase cost this man God, the purchase he made of his divine will in order to give it back to humanity. And they may receive the grace of being able to receive the great gift of being dominated by my most holy divine will. Had there not been redemption first, the disbursements of the price would be missing, as well as the preparatory act of a good so great. Even more, I tell you that the divinity, before descending from heaven, had decreed redemption and the kingdom of my divine will. And so the two go together. And it took 2,000 years to Jesus say, okay, now you've learned how to be faithful and obedient to my church. Now I'm going to give it to the world. He's looking at us and he's saying, I don't care how small the group gets. You're the ones that have been faithful and obedient, because Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. And since one was to serve for the disbursement of the other, in fact, my divine will being divine and of infinite value, a man God was needed, who would be able to pay and acquire a divine volition to give it back to those who had lost it. If this were not so, I, Jesus, would not have moved from heaven, not only come to redeem, more so, since I was interested in giving back the rights of our most holy divine will back to God, the one who was offended and rejected, then in redemption itself. Besides, I would not have acted as a God had I rescued my creatures while putting my divine will aside. Not giving the divine will the rights due to it, restoring its kingdom in the midst of creatures. Therefore, Louisa, be certain its time shall come. I shall arm myself with divine power and with divine love, and at the hour of triumph of the kingdom of my fiat shall sound. It's all in God's hands. Everything is, we're at that tipping point. You have to know this. And besides, as many truths saying this, I, Jesus, have manifested in my divine will. I tell them as if its kingdom were not to come, he says, and tell them as if my kingdom was not going to come, my prolonged speaking to you, Louisa, these 36 volumes would have been a little game or an individual good, but no. I, God, can say that my speaking to you, Louisa, was continuous disbursement of, and that I, God, put out to make known what my divine will is and how my divine will must come to form its divine kingdom. See, God's going to do this. This is so great. Therefore, be attentive. And he says that to us. Be attentive. Begin to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch all the I love yous in creation, all the I love yous of redemption. That's what sanctification is. Returning back to God, all these divine I love yous. Be attentive. Suffer and pray for so holy a purpose. We are here to work hand in hand with Louisa. This is where we are. And God is looking at us with great hope. Like he says, my children of the divine will are going to be my divine masterpieces. That's us. The person next to you is going to be a divine masterpiece. Just take a look. God's divine masterpiece. So we'll end and we'll have Holy Mass in a short bit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And remember, this is a time of silence. Silence. Listen, Jesus wants to talk. Jesus wants to remind you of what he said to Louisa. He wants you to hear him. He wants you to respond to him with a fiat. So silence, silence, silence.